The title of the sermon is Spring Cleaning. I don't know if you have ever heard of this small term, especially if you're in this country. You know what it means by this term, spring cleaning. Sometimes you get some coupons as well, spring cleaning specials, because it's time that the winter is gone and you're getting ready for summer and you need to do some cleaning work. Cleaning work in many aspects as well. So as we look into this specific sermon on spring cleaning, may the Lord speak to us through his living word. Gracious, loving Father, we pray that you may speak. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. What hast thou to talk to me? Lord, help our minds, plant our hearts not to get diverted here and there. We may be going through many situations in our lives. But for the next few minutes, I ask you, Lord, that we may have an undivided attention to the listening of your word. Lord, as I stand here, may you put your words in me so that whatever you have taught me, I may be able to deliver it so that it may first benefit me and then benefit all of us as well. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For today's sermon, let's look at the key verse from Genesis chapter 35 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 2. Shall we all read this together? This is taken from the King James Version. As it is projected, let us just read it aloud together, please. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 2, all together. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. I hope you have the sermon notes by now. Please fill in the blanks in your sheet. The purpose of being able to provide the sermon notes is that we may have a better concentration on the Word of God. Many times we are only listeners, but it's always good to be able to write down as well. First of all, his household, put away, and then be clean and change your garments. Jacob has told this when he was told by God that he was going to go to Bethel. Verse 1 says in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 1, God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Arise, go up to Bethel. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Arise. And when we go to the house of the Lord, Jacob, as a man of the house, as a head of the house, he told to his household, put away all the strange gods that are among you. Some of the translations uses the word foreign gods. Strange gods. We need to put them away and clean and change our garments. Today we are going to focus on cleaning. Many times you must have heard of this term. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Biblically speaking, cleanliness is godliness. Cleanliness is essential to be able to have the form of godliness. Cleanliness from the Word of God. We need to clean up our messes, especially if we know that we have caused those messes as well. Even if we haven't, sometimes we may have to do it. There's a story being talked about President Ronald Reagan. When he was in the hospital healing from when he had been shot, probably some of us know, when he was shot. One day, his vice president walked into the room and to find him on his hands and his knees wiping up water. Hands and his knees, meaning he was like putting like a, you know, two hands on the floor, two knees on the floor, and he was wiping the floor. Where? In the hospital. The vice president said, Mr. President, they'll take care of it. He meant that the people of the hospital would clean it up. All President Reagan had to do was call them and they would hurry in. But the president said, no. If they come in and see if the nurse will be, see it, they say that the nurse and they blame nurse for it. I don't want the nurse to be blamed. She did not do it. I did it. So he got down onto the floor and cleaned up the mess. If a president of the United States could come to his floor and knees and clean up the mess, who are we? Today we are going to study on four different aspects about cleaning. May the Lord speak to us through all the four, or at least one of them, that would transform us by the time we leave this place. And let us have that attitude in us, asking the Lord that he may speak to us and enable us to understand this aspect about spring cleaning. In the Northern Hemisphere, there are four seasons. Especially in this area, Mid-Atlantic area, we experience four seasons: spring, summer, fall, and winter. Typically, spring is in the months of March, April, and May. Summer is typically June, July, August. Fall is September, October, November. And winter is typically December, January, and February. We can go to the specific dates, but I just gave you the months. So we are in which season? Spring season. So I think it's the right thing to be able to study on spring cleaning. And spring cleaning, specifically as I was mentioning to you earlier, that it is a time to clean up certain things, to get rid of certain things in order to be able to prepare for the next season, which is summer. Spiritually speaking, what is this spring cleaning during this time that we need to be able to recognize? The first thing that we can recognize here as part of cleaning is that you and I need to have a clean heart. The Bible says that you and I need to have a clean heart. It all starts with the heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all. It's a heart from where everything comes out. It's not the thing that goes in, but it is from within the heart come out the things that are unclean. So it is a heart that needs to be clean. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, as part of Beatitudes, some people pronounce it as Beatitudes or Beatitudes to be more specific. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, what does it say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the clean heart or a pure heart enables us to see the Lord. You can fill it in. A clean heart or a pure heart is not only a blessing, but the result of a clean heart is that we will be able to see the Lord. We will be able to see the Lord one day face to face, but much more when we study his word. We sang the song where it says, open my spiritual eyes, Lord. Open my spiritual eyes, Lord. And my heart, which is a hardened heart, soften it, Lord. We sang the song, remember? Yes. Open my spiritual eyes. You have opened my spiritual eyes that I may see you. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things from your word, the psalmist says. When Jesus said this, it is to be able to have a clean heart so that we may be able to see the Lord. If our heart is not clean, we will not be able to perceive who God is. We will not be able to perceive the love of God. We will not be able to perceive the mercy of God. We will not be able to perceive the forgiveness of God. And many people do not have that understanding. And that is why it is essential for us to have a clean heart. The clean heart in terms of the things that really cause us not to be able to have that personal relationship with God, or to see God, or to perceive God, or to understand God. When we are filled with sin, that will prevent us in order to be able to have the proper fellowship with God, or to see God for that matter. David, as you know, he committed sin with Bathsheba, with his sight, and then through act as well. And he committed sin. Nathan the prophet had to come and reprimand him. In today's world, the prophet coming is equivalent to the Holy Spirit of God setting the alarm off so that we may be able to know that we have committed something wrong. And when he realized that he had committed wrong, Psalm 51, wonderful chapter, as I was meditating on it, as many times as we meditate on it, it really gives us a perspective. Who am I? In what way am I better than King David? And the way in which he talks about his personal sin, his private sin that he committed, he had to come into the presence of God. And in verse 1, he says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions," or "wipe out my transgressions." Transgression is something that you're not supposed to do that we did. Transgress. Ingress, egress means coming in, going out. Transgress means doing something that we are not supposed to. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Iniquity, talking about perverse nature, crooked nature. And the sin is going away from the mark. Hamartia, it says in Hebrew. Sin, meaning there is a mark, there is a goal, but I'm going away from the goal. I'm not reaching up to the goal. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God because we are falling short of the mark, missing the mark. So here he says his transgressions, his iniquities, and his sins. And he says in verse 2, "Wash me," not a little, "thoroughly." I like that word. Thoroughly. "Lord, I don't want to have any mark." And even in verse 1, he says, "Blot out," meaning wipe away. And in verse 2, he says, "Cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgression. My sin is ever before me." I'm seeing sin only. I'm not able to see God because sin is blocking me between me and God. The sin that is causing me unable to have that perception of God. I need to let that sin be cleansed. In verse 4, against you I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. God is looking at us, but he's seeing sin. When we want to look at God, sin is blocking us. When God is looking at us, sin is the one that is in front of us. And the one that could cleanse us from that sin is none other than Jesus Christ and his blood. And that sin, when it goes away, that is when you can have a real eye-to-eye contact with our God. And it says here, in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Create in me a clean heart, O God. That is the most important thing that you and I need to come into the presence of God as part of the spring cleaning in the season that we are in. We need to ask the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," or a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That should be our prayer. That should be the way in which we need to come into the presence of God. And only then would we be able to have the right relationship that is needed in our lives. Okay, when we said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," how do you know that your heart is clean? How do you know that your heart is clean? Physically, there's a heart that we have. I'm sure each one of us have it, right? Probably we never saw our heart. Probably we never saw how clean our heart is, physical heart, I'm saying. In Telugu, there are two words that are used, gunde, hrudayamu. Gunde is the physical part. Hrudayamu means it is something which where the emotions of the heart and the thoughts and everything start with. Both the words are used for it. When do you know that your heart has a problem? When you go for a test. I hope we are going for an annual exam, hopefully. Sometimes people go more often than usual. Going for a test. We go and get ourselves tested. We give blood. And they test the blood and verify how the triglycerides are, lipid profile, and every other thing. We have doctors here, so I don't need to be specifically mentioning. But the point is that the heart needs to be examined enough to be able to know how it is. And according to the test results, we need to take the specific medication in order to let things be cleared out from within the heart, if there is any blockage or whatever the kind of things that we go through. And to go through the testing, what do? They say at least 8 hours or 12 hours we need to fast. We need to fast and then go for the test. And when we go through so much in order to be able to test ourselves from the heart perspective, the physical heart perspective, how much more do we need to make sure that our heart is clean? The heart, the spiritual aspect of the heart, from where the deceitfulness, the wrong motives, the wrong intentions, they're all starting from within the heart. We need to examine ourselves. That's why the table is set before us. The Bible says, let a man examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We need to ask the Lord. The Bible says, God is the one who searches our hearts. He is our tester. But we need to come. We need to be able to give ourselves to him. Just like we say, okay, draw the blood from me in order to test how my heart is. Similarly, we need to come to the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, search me, O God. See if there is anything wicked in me. See if there's Psalm 139, last two verses, talk about it. Asking God to search our hearts, because he's the best Google search engine. To be able to search our hearts to the nth level to produce the results that are the closest match, that you will say, oh, what is this? Is this what it is? So many search results are coming out because of the sinful nature I'm going through. Secondly, not only a clean heart, but the Bible says that you and I need to have clean hands. Clean hands are needed. Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. Verses 3 and 4. Please read Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Who may stand in his holy place? Yes.
He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully.
Verse 5 as well.
He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation.
Yes. Who may stand in his holy place? Who can ascend? How can we stand in the presence of God? Why should we stand in the presence of God? First of all, a clean heart to be able to see God. And now to stand in the presence of God, in front of God. Why? He who has a clean hand and a pure heart. When you stand in the presence of God, there is something that is going to happen. Psalm 18, verse 20. Psalm 18, verse 20. God has rewarded me according to my righteousness.
Cleanness.
According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me or compensated me. He has given me according to the cleanness of my hands. The hands are so important that God is saying that I am being rewarded, I am being recompensed, I'm receiving something in the presence of the Lord. So that is what we want to note it down. The clean hands to receive from the Lord. You can note it down. Two words. Receive from the Lord. Clean hands to receive from the Lord. I'm standing in the presence of God. Who can stand in his holy place? And he's saying, I want to give you something. If my hands are not clean, can you shake somebody's hand? No. If you are planning to receive something, say, oh, wait a minute. You keep rubbing your hands behind you and then you put your hands. Why? The one who is giving, you want to be able to show forth that respect by having clean hands and then standing in the presence of the Lord. God is saying, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to compensate you because of the cleanness of your hands. How clean are our hands? Heart is something that is inside. Nobody knows what is happening inside. God knows. He searches our hearts. But how about your hands? How many times we tell our children, wash your hands. You come out of the bathroom, wash your hands. First question probably every mom or dad, did you wash your hands? No, go again. Wash your hand. Did you wash with soap? Yes? Why? You want your children's to be clean. Why? Because if your hands are not clean, you don't know what you'll do with your hands. You may be touching different parts of your body. You may be touching other people and cause other people also to go through that. That is why. Keep your hands clean, especially during flu season. What do? Oh, everywhere, wash your hands, be careful. Why? Because hands are the ones that cause so much of damage to our entire self. The Bible says so, not my words. Word of God is saying, the hands through which you are doing things, the hands through which you are meeting people, the hands through which you are working things out, how are you using your hands? Let us examine ourselves. How am I using my hands? Whether I'm holding something or holding someone or I'm typing or doing anything, holding the steering wheel to go somewhere. What am I doing with my hands? How am I using my hands? God is saying, I'm going to recompense you. I'm going to reward you based on the cleanness of your hands that are seen externally. Cleaning of your hands, meaning the work that you do. Not only the intentions of your heart that should be clean, but the work that you do also should be clean enough. Are your hands clean? Are my hands clean? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. To be able to ponder over the fact whether my hands are clean or not. Maybe you're doing a lot of work here and there, but are you coming back and washing your hands? When you're taking part in something, when you're having food, what do? I want to go wash my hands. The Bible says that we need to wash. And Christ is the one who washes us with his blood. He washes us with water. He sanctifies us with his water, which is the word of God. Through his word, he will enable us to make sure that our hands are clean. Next time you look at your hands, next time you wash your hands with soap, remember the word of God. Lord, are my hands clean in your sight? When I come before your presence, when I stand before your presence, I'm going to extend my hands to you. Are my hands clean? Who can stand in his holy hill? When I worship the Lord, I may lift up my hands. Are those hands holy hands? Lift up your holy hands, the Bible says. In the book of Timothy, when you pray, lift up your holy hands, it says. Are my hands holy enough to be able to worship him? It's a question that you and I need to ask. Hearts and hands, they go hand in hand. In the same Psalm, chapter 18, verse 24 as well. It's the same thing that he talks about. Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes, not my eyes, in his sight. Are my hands clean in his sight? The child may come and say, see, I washed, no? Went and played outside in the dirt, I washed. And they come and show, see. And still you see that, hey, you didn't wash properly. Go wash again. If as parents we are so much concerned about our children, how much more our Heavenly Father is concerned about your hands and my hands? Oh my dear, he wants us to be able to maintain a holy life. What are we doing with our hands? Are we glorifying him? Are we doing the things that help in the edification? Or are we typing things that are causing damage to the relationships? Texting, tuck, only thumbs sometimes. Keeping on texting, talking about that person, negatively talking about this person. How are we using our hands, tell me? Let us be cautious about using our hands for the glory of God. To receive from the Lord, clean hands, to receive from the Lord. Thirdly, clean habits, easy to remember. Clean heart, clean hands, and clean habits. What are habits? Habits are the things that you tend to get used to. Sometimes there are so many habitual sins that we do that we cannot come out of it. There are so many addictions that we are involved in that we are unable to come out of it. as part of the spring cleaning, we need to check our habits. Those habits could be anything. What kind of a behavior we have, what kind of paths we are taking, what kind of ways we are going on. Ways meaning, what kind of a way of life are we having, reflects who we are, the habits. That's why the picture there says, I don't know where to go, here or there. Which way should I take? Because of the habits that I am involved in, I may be going the wrong way than the right way. What kind of way am I taking? These habits, we need to keep checking. The habits may be related to our talking. We might say, oh, I have the habit of speaking vulgarly. Some people might say, oh, I have the habit of speaking so emotionally, suddenly short-temperedly. I don't know, it just comes out of my mouth. I just have this habit of doing it. I think time for us to clean up our habits. Maybe we have certain kind of habits, but nobody knows about it. You and God know. What kind of habits are they? Time for cleaning. Time for cleaning. Family, in the families also, what kind of habits? You know how children are. We keep telling, have the habit of brushing before sleeping. What do you do? Mm-hmm. We keep reminding them, brush, brush, brush. In our house, there's one more step that we go forward with. Not only brushing, flossing. Did you floss? Did you ask the children? They keep telling, oh, okay, I have to floss. Flossing, not just brushing. Why? It might take a month or so. We may not be interested in it when somebody is keeping on reminding for the good habits that we need to have. After that, you'll get used to it. Nobody needs to tell you. The moment you know that you've done with your dinner, first thing you go, brush. Why? Because I got used to it. It became a habit in me. Laundry. How many times we keep telling, oh, put the clothes in the laundry. And people, our kids or anyone for that matter. Once you get it out of the laundry, you have to fold it and put it. No, it remains in that basket for a while. Why? What are all these habits, right? When we are so concerned about the habits in our house and our children, healthy habits that you and I need to have, how much more God expects us to have clean habits? As part of the spring cleaning, I think it's another reminder for us to make sure that we have the good habits, spiritual habits. Maybe first thing in the morning, wake up, first person to talk to is God. First thing that you read is the Bible. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. And many times, we don't make it a habit. And especially those of us who are responsible in leading our own household, we don't put that discipline. Jacob had to tell his household, put away the strange gods. Be clean. Change the garments. He had responsibility for his family. How much more should you and I need to be for our own family? If we ourselves are not disciplined and we tell our family members to do it, sorry. As the children grow up, they will say it back. You or yourselves are not doing, why should I? We need to set an example, my dear. In such a manner that when Jacob told his household, if you read Genesis chapter 35 afterwards, they obeyed. They took away those strange gods. They cleansed themselves. Such is the kind. Fathers, does the family respect you for who you are? Mothers, we need to set an example for our children. Having good habits, good discipline, so that when we say to our fellow family members, whether it is a spouse or children, they will listen to us. God is expecting us to have good habits. Why? Why should I have good habits or clean habits? To please the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Please read Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Yes, when a man's ways or habits are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What a wonderful statement it is. Maybe you might say, I don't have any enemies. But is there someone you don't like to talk to? You somehow keep complaining to another person about that person? Let me tell you, that's no better than enmity. Why should you have bitterness towards someone else? God is saying, if our behavior, if our habits, oh, I want to call them. When I remember somebody, even if that person is hurting me, I'm going to call them back. That is my habit. I'm going to call them back and say, ask them how they are doing, and I'll pray for them. If that is your habit, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he will make his enemies to be at peace with him. What a wonderful statement that is. May our habits be acceptable in the sight of God, may be pleasing to the Lord. God should be pleased. Seeing the Lord, and that is clean heart, clean hands in his sight, so that we may receive from the Lord the rewards that he wants to give us. And clean habits that are pleasing to the Lord, God says, yes, I know, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus was a wonderful example for us to follow. When the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved son, how wonderful it would be for the same Heavenly Father to talk about each one of us, to say, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased because of the habits, because of the ways, because of the attitude that this person has. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9 in King James Version, it says, Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. How can a man keep his way pure? How can he keep his habits, his ways, his way of life for that matter? How can he keep his way of life clean? By keeping or heeding according to your word. When we obey the word of God, we will know. First of all, we should know the word of God. Is this right in the sight of God? Is this the way that God wants me to go with? And then follow that way. He's the way of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the way. And when you hear his way, you'll hear a voice from behind. Take right, take left. Why? Because many times we don't know which way to go and we are getting into trouble. And especially in terms of habits, I think it's a good reminder for us to just check our habits. What kind of habits do we have? What kind of habits do we have? And are we ready to ask the Lord to change our habits? Time for change. Many times it's very difficult for change. When a new user interface comes on your phone, some people like, some people don't like. As you keep using it, you'll get used to it. Sometimes developing a good habit is difficult. But a change is needed in our lives, which is according to the word of God. Take it. Make it a discipline, saying that, Lord, I want to follow this habit that will be pleasing in your sight. Whether it is in terms of my mouth, in terms of talking. No wonder when Isaiah saw that wonderful view of God, when he saw the heavenly host saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the angel brought a coal, touched his lips, and he was cleansed. Is our mouth causing us to become unclean? Is that our habit of keeping on backbiting? Maybe time for us to ask the Lord, take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Yes, Lord, cleanse my lips. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. That should be our prayer, my dear. And that is the only way in which you and I can be able to take forward through this spring cleaning. The last and the final one in this particular aspects about thing is, first of all, clean heart, clean hands, clean habits, and finally, clean house. Easy to remember. I hope you'll be able to remember the spring cleaning. Heart, hands, habits, and house. Yes, how about the house? We need to keep our house clean. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 1. Please read. Set your house in order. What does it mean? Set your house clean. In terms of what? House and household. The things that are in your house, the people that are in your house as well. Set your house in order. Why? For you shall die and not live. And you know the story after that. He pleaded with the Lord and he said, I have walked before you in truth and the whole heart. He wept bitterly and finally his lifespan was extended for another 15 years. But the small statement there, set your house in order. Set your house in order. Why? Why should I set my house in order? In what way would this help me, this Hezekiah? Let's see 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We see what kind of a man he was when we read a few verses about him. It says in verse 1, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. What was his first focus? First, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And he repaired them. Verse 5, what does it say? Then he said to them, listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now. Consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. Out. We need to have the house clean. Whether it is the house of the Lord, or whether it's your own house, or for that matter, whether it's your body, which is the house of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So glorify God with your body. So the clean house is to glorify the Lord. Anything that you do, when you clean the house, it should bring glory to God. When I say clean the house, doesn't mean empty the house. Be careful. Clean the house means unclean things to be taken out. How long will you keep the trash in your house? Maybe trash is there. Imagine you take the trash, it's full, you tie it, and you still put it there. Do you put it there? You want to clean it up. You want to take it out. You want to put it in the garage, sometimes outside the garage, sometimes the dumpster. Why? You don't want the stinking smell. You need to take the unclean things out of the house. If so many things are there in the house, we know what all things that we need to be able to set right. Consecrate yourself, he says, and then consecrate the house of the Lord. You need to be clean and you need to make sure your house is clean, your church is clean as well. The house of the Lord has to be clean. And that is what it is essential, my dear. Even in verse 15, what did they do? They assembled their brothers, consecrated themselves, went in to cleanse the house of the Lord according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord. And in verse 16, so the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. Every unclean thing which they have found in the temple of the Lord, they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites received it to carry out to the Kidron Valley. You know, Kidron Valley is a place where they used to throw stuff and put them on fire. Don't keep it someplace and say, oh, these are things, but I still want to keep it somewhere. Let me tell you, we need to take them out. In our body also, if there are things that are not right in the sight of God, I need to take them out. Say, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. In my house, I want to make sure my house is clean. Even if cleaners keep coming on and on, you still want to keep your house clean, don't you? Do you rely on them? They don't know what to do with that paper that is lying there. All they'll do is they put one above the other and then leave it there. They don't know whether to throw it or not. You are the one who knows whether you can throw it out of the house or not. How many times unfinished basements or those storage closets, we don't know what is getting in there. Time for us to take it out. Sometimes attic also has so many things. We don't know what is lying there also. For years together it will be there, but we never go and clean it up. How much important it is for us, as much physically we want to clean things up. Even in the house of the Lord, we want to clean things. We don't want to keep all the things that are lying there forever. We want to do cleaning of the house of the Lord as much as we want to be involved in cleaning of the people's hearts. Cleaning is essential. You just cannot say that, oh, I have cleaned last year. Enough, I'm not going to clean. It's a daily thing, my dear. Sometimes weekly thing. Weekends people want to take things out and make sure their house is clean as much as the house of the Lord, as much as our bodies as well. We have to be cautious, my dear. Just today morning, I was standing in front of the mirror and I was checking the mark that I was seeing on my coat. I was wondering, and I was looking at the mirror and I thought, is the mark on the mirror or is the mark on me? I always get confused. I was trying to clean it up and then I realized I had to clean it here. Many times, we don't know where the mark is and we tend to judge people accordingly. There was this young couple who moved to a new neighborhood. And they were trying to settle in that house. And they happened to see their neighbors. From a window, they were able to see their neighbor's house. And their neighbors started washing the clothes. And during that time, they were hanging the clothes on a wire, if you know what I mean. And they were hanging the clothes to dry. And this wife, this new young couple that moved in, she saw and said, what a terrible way she has washed the clothes. She's so dirty. She doesn't know how to wash also. Husband was silent. He didn't say anything. Next day again, she sees from the window and says, wow, what is this? They don't know how to keep their clothes clean. They don't have enough laundry detergent or anything. Why is it so terrible clothes that they have? Month goes by and suddenly, the next day when she looks into the window, she notices, wow, see, the clothes are so clean. The clothes are so clean. I wonder what they might have done. This is what the husband says. I cleaned our window. The husband said, I cleaned our window. We keep judging others that they are unclean, forgetting the fact that we need to clean our own. Oh my dear, how many times we keep looking at other people more than ourselves. Cleaning is essential. Window cleaning also, right? Apart from house cleaning, yeah. Inside and out as well, we need to keep cleaning. And that is where it is very important for us to recognize. The last two points and we'll close. How do I apply this in my life? I need to have clean heart. I need to have clean hands. I need to have clean habits. I need to maintain a clean house in order to see the Lord, to receive from the Lord, to please the Lord, and to glorify the Lord. The first thing, I can take the first step in order to have this cleaning in me is to ask. Asking. It is yours for the asking. What is this asking? Prayer. Note it down. Ask. Asking the Lord. No wonder we've gone through. I don't need to let us keep going back to those verses. Psalm chapter 51, verse 10 to 12 and other places where Psalmist David says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Wash me thoroughly. Blot my... What is he doing? He's asking. Oh, my dear. That is a first step towards cleaning. We need to ask him. We need to, first of all, know that we are unclean. And we need to confess that we are unclean. We need to ask for cleaning. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That lady who lost her coin, what did she do? She took a lamp. I don't know when was the last time she took the lamp and started searching at that corner under the bed and all that. She took a lamp. And the moment she took the lamp, she was able to see the dirt here and there. As part of her searching, cleaning also was happening. Many times we do that, right? We keep searching for something, and we spend the whole day, and the house is clean, and finally we'll find it sometime. But house is clean too. God allows us sometimes to lose some things in order to be able to set our house in order. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It doesn't end there. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we will know our sinful nature. And there is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. Cleansing us, we have to confess, Lord, I have done this wrong. I want you to forgive me and cleanse me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Sanctification is needed. And lastly, what do we have to do? Not only should you ask, but also you should act. What is this act? We need to clean ourselves. Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Please read Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26. Yes. This is what is happening most of the time. We want to focus on the outside cleaning, forgetting the inside. There's a cup. Somebody used it. Somebody had coffee or tea. Now you just can't say, I will wash the outside and then I'll drink. I'll pour myself. No. What do you do first? I want to clean inside. And as you keep cleaning inside, what will happen to the outside? Automatically, the outside part is getting clean. Many times we focus on the outside. We tend to judge people from outside. I know a man who shared about his testimony. He was a hippie. In Syracuse, he was a student. And he came to know the Lord. And he personally shared this with me. And he was having that hippie style life and all that. But the man of God there never ever told him to change his haircut or hairstyle. But he talked about sanctification. He talked about cleanliness. He talked about how important that he and I need to be. And during the course of time, as his heart was getting clean, he realized that he should be able to have the image of Christ in him, that he himself went and changed his haircut. Inside out. Not outside in. Many times we are outside cleaning, but not focus on inside. What do you do when you use the dishwasher? Do you put the cup like this or you turn it backwards? Why? Why do you put it backwards? Upside down? So that the flow of water will clean inside one first. As it is keeping on cleaning the inside, automatically the outside will take it. That's what it says in verse 26. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish so that the outside of it may become clean also. Focus on the inside, the attitude of the hearts, the motives of the hearts, the habits. If you focus on that, automatically the outside will be taken care of. Let us be cautious on all these aspects. The Bible says that we need to be a vessel of honor, sanctified unto the Lord. So as we conclude this sermon, I just want to remind each one of us, what is our present situation that we are in? Let's close our eyes and reflect upon what we have heard. Clean heart, clean hands, clean habits and clean house. I hope you can remember this and apply it in our daily lives. We have the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Jesus Christ gave his life for us in order to be able to have a clean hands and heart and habits and the house. There is something that we need to take action also. We need to clean ourselves as much as we ask the Lord to search our heart. The cleaning ourselves is regular sanctification. Lord, give me the strength to be able to win over this temptation, this habit, this addiction in my life. Let that be our prayer, my dear. Oh, my dear. Before the spring season ends and we start getting into the next season, a lot of people want to have good habits, healthy habits of eating and shedding all the fat that they have accumulated in winter. And they do so much of physical readiness for the next season. How much more should we do readiness for eternal life? Getting rid of all the fat, getting rid of all the uncleanness, having a household that is putting away strange gods to be clean and changing the garments. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? Oh my dear, I'm asking you, anyone sitting here who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, take this opportunity to receive Jesus Christ and ask the Lord for forgiveness of our sins. And for those who have accepted Jesus Christ, are we filled with all uncleanness everywhere in our house, in our body, in our heart? Time for cleaning. Time for cleaning. Let's confess. Come into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have good relationships with my family members. Lord, I want to have good relationships with my church members. I want to have good relationships with my neighbors, with my colleagues at work, with everyone around me. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he will let his enemies to be at peace with him. Remember that. And let us confess and take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner. We are going to take our hands and take part in the bread and the cup. Are our hands clean? Spiritually speaking, ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to touch something where my hands are unclean. Cleanse my hands, cleanse my heart.